Hello, everyone. This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening from the Command Center, Geekcast Radio Network.
Go!
Hello and welcome to yet another interview here on From the Command Center. I am one of your hosts, TF Joe and Mike, from the Geekcast Radio Network. And joining me from PCN, Pop Culture Network, is Scotty Cash. Hello.
What's up, bud?
Oh, not much, not much. After months and months and months of finagling and making time for schedules and everything else, we have the ultimate. Interview I never thought I would ever get, but thankfully he took time out of his day to talk to us. The Power Rangers legend known as Jason David Frank.
Yes. I gotta be honest. When you first came to me with this podcast, or when I first started my show, I would never would have said that. You know what my goal is to interview the Green Ranger, the White Ranger, you know, the Power Ranger. But I gotta be honest. I just need to tell you thank you, Mike, because if we wouldn't have done this podcast, you know, this wouldn't happen, and this is awesome. I can't wait for this.
Yes, and that is coming up right now.
Hey, I'm Kimberly. You're new around here, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Tommy.
Hi.
Hi.
Listen, do you want to get together with some of us after school? You know, nothing major, just hang out at the youth center.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Okay.
Well, I'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
It is done, my Empress. Zordon has been eliminated, and the Power Rangers are next. So, we meet again. I've been looking forward to this.
You wear a Green Ranger costume, yet your loyalty's with Rita. I am her Green Ranger, and she is my Empress.
She's evil!
Yeah, and so am I. Cheetah!
You destroyed the power sword! Rita's spell is broken!
You okay, Tommy?
What's happening to me?
You're no longer under Rita's power.
My head's spinning.
We'll be okay, man. What have I done? What you did under Rita's influence. You own the power now. Fight by our side and we can defeat Rita.
After everything that's happened?
Tommy, we need you. It's where you belong. Will you join us, Tommy?
It's morphin' time! Dragon Sword!
Hello and welcome to this exclusive From the Command Center interview. I am, of course, Mike Blanchard, and joining me is Scotty Clark. Hello, Scotty.
What's up, buddy?
Not much, and we have a Power Rangers legend with us.
I would almost go as far as saying the Power Ranger, because I'm sure he's 80% of people's, if not more, you know, I'm sure he's their favorite Ranger, if you will.
Yes, a man who has been red, white, red twice, red, I screwed that up, green, white, red twice, and black, Mr. Jason David Frank. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you guys doing today?
Good? Pretty good, pretty good. How are you, sir?
All right, I'm doing good. You can't be messing up the colors.
I know. It's just the order that I messed up.
People ask me what color I am, and I think I just stick to the old Green Ranger, White Ranger. That kind of sums it up, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be there a long time saying, well, I was the Green Ranger, then I was the White Ranger, then I was the Red Zeo Ranger, and then I was the Turbo Ranger. It's too long. Then I was the Black Ranger, you know, just sum it up. I think people know the Green Ranger is kind of old school, and, you know, Tommy with the long hair. Oh, you're the guy with long hair. Now I recognize you.
What surprises me most about your Power Rangers history is, I did the math on this, when you were doing Mighty Morphin, you were 20 years old.
Yeah, I started when I was about 19, you know, of course, filming in Culver City. And just kind of went from there, you know. When I did the show, I didn't know what I was getting into. You know, I showed my brother, and my brother said, oh, man, that's a cheesy show. That's never going to make it. And good thing I didn't believe him, because kids, like I always say, kids do eat cheese. So kids love cheese sticks, cheese sandwiches, and macaroni and cheese. And guess what? Now it's Power Rangers. So, yep. It is what it is, but it was awesome.
Yes.
I was told one time, Jason, that you were actually training the other Power Rangers, and then they asked you to be on the show. So is that just completely nonsense then?
No, it's not. It's kind of, it's true. But what happened was when I auditioned, it was easy for me because I was in Hollywood, and everybody in Hollywood does everything. Oh, you do this? Oh, absolutely, yeah. You do this? Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, when I got there, I knew everybody's belt were tied wrong, and I was like, oh, you're in karate? They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a one-stripe black belt. So I was like, man, I got this, because I used to compete everywhere. So I auditioned, and then they called me back. And then when I called back, I was working with Twee, well, soon to be casted, you know, Trini, and I didn't know who it was going to be, but I was working with all these girls, and I'm thinking, man, like I said, I don't know if this part that they called me back for is for a girl or a guy. I'm the only guy here, and there's, like, you know, 10 girls, and, you know, so I was all stressed out. I didn't know if I should, you know, take the girls out, or, you know, I didn't know what it was, you know, but I did that, and then, yeah, then I was training people from the show, because I was, you know, the real guy, the real karate guy, and, you know, me and Johnny Bosch worked together for a while, and he did Kung Fu, and we did different stuff, but I think once I started the show, everything kind of changed from even the Key Eyes when I first started, from all the Rangers would listen to me, you know, Key Eye, and everybody was like, oh, you know, instead of, Aya, Key Eye, you know, that's the correct way of doing a Key Eye. Key Eye, you know, comes from the bottom of your stomach, and, you know, you got to get into it, and anyway, so things changed a little bit, and for me, that's what I've always done is karate, so it was easy for me. It was the easiest job to book. Now, the acting, you know, I didn't lose the one I was, that's
yeah.
So I had no clue what Phantom was. Now, they did tell me the Green Ranger, but I thought it was the Green Forest Ranger, so I thought it was going to be a Forest Ranger. I didn't know. So, went out there and did it, and then got the Green Ranger part that no one knew about here in America, and, so I guess the rest was kind of history, and I worked. I loved my job. I left the show just because it was, a long-haul show, and, left when it was on top, and, flipped my coin to TJ, and boom, I was on my way, and then Dino Thunder happened to call me back to do it for some friends, and that was kind of fun, so, I don't know. Just kind of see what happens in the Power Ranger future. The good thing is I am working out. I still fit in my spandex. You know what I mean? Those are all positive things for me when you get a little older. I mean? I don't have gray hair yet, thank God. So these things are kind of working for me, but we have a very limited window, guys. It's all going to come crashing down soon.
You never know. But so the guy that was the VR trooper, I can't think of his name for the life of me right now.
Brad Hawkins was
supposed to be the White Ranger, but Power Ranger friends all over called out saying, look, if you get rid of Tommy, you're losing a huge chunk of, the Power Rangers just in general. So did they come to you like, look, we want to bring you back? I mean, were you under the impression?
Well, that's kind of right, but you got a little twisted. When you get people in a circle and tell them one story, by the time it gets back, it's kind of right, but it's a little – what happened was it goes back a little bit further as the Green Ranger. They took me off the show to create a show called VR Troopers, it's called Cybertron. So they said, well, Jason, your character's popular. Let's just do you off as the Green Ranger. Let's bring you over to this set. Let's do your own TV show. So we're in negotiation. It's cool. I get to work by myself. I get to, do this, do that. So it was cool. So they brought me off the show as the Green Ranger. Then everybody freaked out. This was before the wire. Everybody freaked out. Said, you can't lose the Green Ranger. By that time, I already filmed Cybertron. So people were freaking out, going, you can't lose the Green Ranger. I don't know what's going on, and blah, blah, blah. So during that process time, a new Ranger was going to be filled, which was the White Ranger, because they kind of took, got me off. Then they went to Cybertron. I was filming a pilot, and they're like, well, Jason's gone. Let's bring in this White Ranger. Nobody knew the White Ranger was coming in. All everyone knew is, why did you take the Green Ranger off? Tommy's character's popular. They put a petition around. Kids were calling parents. My kids aren't eating, so Saban was going, oh, no. I got Jason and Cybertron, and, now they want the Green Ranger back. What am I going to do? So they did talk to Brad Hawkins about being the White Ranger. And then all of a sudden it all switched. They said, we can't do that. We got to bring Jason back. So they talked to me and said, listen, do you want to come back or do you want to do Cybertron? And then, to be honest with you, I'm glad I did Power Rangers because I heard there was going to be a movie, and I said, I'll just come back. But coming back for me was going from one costume to another, and it was literally right next door. It was like, sure, I'll come back, six steps on that side, six steps to VR Troopers, I'm glad I made that decision to come back. And then, granted the VR Troopers, and that was syndicated. It wasn't network. It was just showing randomly all over the place, and that's why it didn't get the ratings, and that's why it didn't go to many seasons.
Yeah, plus it was kind of a knockoff of Power Rangers. And then when you had
Mask Rider too.
Definitely. Yeah, Mask Rider. I would say Mask Rider probably, my personal opinion, isn't even as good as the VR Troopers, even though, in Japan or whatever, that Mask Rider is just, giant. It's just huge over there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did. I've actually seen that pilot episode of you on the Cybertron. I want to say it's on YouTube or somebody sent me a link somewhere, but I've seen that.
Yeah, I released it. Yeah, it was never out before. See, I have a pilot with called Sirens with Fergie in it. And I did a pilot with her. I'm going to release that on YouTube. I'm the only one with a copy. I mean, it was called Sirens. It's kind of a ripoff of Power Rangers, but they were mermaids. It was when she was in her band, a Wild Orchid, and they were all in there. And I filmed. And in that pilot, I am with Brad Hawkins. We do play the part in there. I'm the enemy. He's the bad guy. But the pilot never got picked up. But, again, the pilot was supposed to magically disappear. But, me, I save everything. So. Yeah. I'm going to release that one out on YouTube, so I'll make sure I get you guys a link to that first before anyone sees it.
That'd be awesome.
Cool. So the transition from being all the multicolors in your younger years to then coming back in 2004 for Dino Thunder, what was that like? I mean, you're still the same character, and I remember, I forget which convention it was. It was a convention you did with Johnny a couple of years ago. When I think Johnny was like, it was either at the convention thing or it was in his in one of his appearances in one of the guest roles. He's like, I still can't believe that dude is a doctor coming about talking about the character.
I love it. Yeah.
How was it for you continuing on with Tommy into adulthood? Tommy's adulthood.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
That, you know, turning into Dr. Tommy Oliver. I'm just waiting for someone on the plane to go, is there a doctor here? And I want to run up and go, yes. And then work and say, well, I'm not a doctor, but I do play one on TV. yeah, it was different. The reason why it was different for me is, you know, spandex, colors, Power Rangers. It was interesting that the fans loved it. The ratings was higher. But the interesting part is working with those kids that grew up watching Power Rangers. Now they're a Power Ranger. Being a Power Ranger is one of their superhero Power Rangers that they looked up to. That was kind of cool, you know what I mean? And they were younger and all that stuff. But I had a great time filming. It wasn't the same because it wasn't Saban. It was Disney. And, you know, it's quite different. Koichi Sakamoto, all the guys. But, you know, the way Power Rangers is now, I'm sure it's the same as far as, you know, the way it is on the set and people, you know, friendly and all that stuff. So, yeah, they were nice over there. It just, you know, it was different, but it was fun because I was able to, I think the best episode was the episode where I had to, you know, fight myself, even though they were all different sizes, which is supposed to be myself. They could have got the same stunt guy for, you know, all the suits. But, so I had to fight myself. That was fun. And, you know, I had to be in the hospital. I kind of like that little bit of a violence thing. That's why, you know, I talked to Saban about revamping one of these characters, Green Ranger or White Ranger. Revamp it for you guys, the 25-year-olds. Make it like a PG-13 Dark Knight series. Revamp the costumes. I'll play the same character in time and years. I mean, I got so many more karate moves that will just, you know, in the way technology is with Hollywood nowadays, it'd be one of those kick-ass movies. And not the movie Kick-Ass, it'd be a kick-ass movie. But,
yes.
You know, and because they're losing the market, they're losing the fan base of these guys that are from the ages of 22 to 32, 22 to 33. They're losing that age group right now. Even though they do have the same shows, but just imagine something like The Dark Knight-ish would come out. Like, I mean, when I say that, it's that genre. To revamp that Green Ranger or the White Ranger, just to make it like a little bit, you know, darker, PG-13. If it was up to me, I'd do a rated R, but we can't, you know. It would just be cool. I have definitely have a lot of fans. I got a lot of happy fans on Facebook. Like, I'm blessed to have 65,000 fans. Every time I go on there, man, I see the numbers go up. I just feel so honored and blessed that I actually have these people like you guys that are wanting to interview or that are still carrying on the legacy of what Power Rangers is and being excited about it. And, you know, that's why I tried. I mean, today was a super, super busy day for me. It's really, that's why I called a little bit later. It's a super busy day. About to wrap up my day. I started my day training this morning at 7, and it's been business, calls, emails, but I can't let you guys down because I can't let my fans down because I feel like my word is golden, you know? That's why I wear a gold shield.
That's right.
But, you know, and I'm just happy and blessed to have that, but the transition was interesting. So, I don't know. It was fun. I mean, black is my favorite color. When, you know, Austin came back as the Gold Ranger, I was a little bummed just because I love black and gold. And he had the shield, and I didn't, and I felt naked, you know, all that stuff. So, it was a good transition. It was fun.
So let's transition and talk about your Jesus Didn't Tap business. What is that? For those of us who have been living under a rock, maybe for some of the listeners, explain to us what Jesus Didn't Tap is.
Well, the easiest thing to think about is tap-out clothing. Tap-out clothing started very small, from $30,000 a year to over $100 million a year worldwide. You know, tap-out crew, you know, Mask, I know he passed away, and all these guys in Punk Ass and Skyscraper. And, you know, they started this company called Tap-Out. When you're fighting in MMA and you get caught in an armbar or choke or just simply you're getting out-punched, you can tap out with your hand or you can say tap, 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 and the fight ends. It's kind of like throwing in the towel. Although a lot of people that do tap, you should throw in the towel, you're about to get your arm broke. So what I wanted to do was create something new, something that was positive. I looked at statistics. I'm a Christian, but I looked at statistics. You know, 83% of the U.S. is Christian-based. 99% in Brazil. This is where MMA came from. Jiu-Jitsu came from Brazil. 99% is Christian-based. So I wanted a fighter, and I wanted a catchy name, and I wrote rap songs for it, and it was just Jesus in Cap was one of those names where either you're going to like it, you're going to laugh, you're going to hate it, you're going to love it. It's just one of those things where it's catchy. Oh, Jesus in Cap. And then you got the old people knocking on your window that they might have been living under a rock for 80 years, and they say, what does this mean? Are you blasphemy Jesus? No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying Jesus didn't give up for all of our sins. He got crucified. He's tough. Jesus is tough. Go watch the movies. And that's a history book one way or another. I don't care what their beliefs are. If you don't believe that's a history book, if you don't believe someone got crucified, I'm not saying you don't believe it's risen. But if you don't believe that, then you're silly, because that is a history book, Passion of the Christ. Look how bad he got beat. You know, all this stuff. So I was thinking, man, if I'm going to get a fighter, he's the ultimate fighter. Ultimate fighter, world recognition, world known, and guess what? He's not going to be a champion one day and not be a champion the next day. I want someone who's going to be on the front line that everyone can always turn to and everyone can always say Jesus' name around the world 100 years from now is not going away. Anderson Silva, I'm glad he's a champion. He won that fight, but he's going to go away. So I wanted something to last and leave a legacy behind. For, you know, it wasn't the Jason David Frank Brandt clothing line, which I came up with it, and my partner and one of my partners, and it wasn't bad. I stayed behind the lines. I wanted something. I didn't want this to be, oh, Jason and Tap Power Ranger, line. It was something I believed in, and now it's worldwide, and, you know, we're at the UFC last show, and people love it, and, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it, and, you know, I have another company called Bull Shirts who's doing all the marketing and running things now, because I've been extremely busy with schools and just trying to, you know, do this and do that. And this is what I've done before Power Rangers, though. A lot of people, oh, you're doing karate. Man, I've had 2-3 karate schools before I booked that show. So this is something I feel, having, you know, again, having 1,000 students underneath you is a good feeling. You know, you have 1,000 people that will, you know, do anything for you, and I'll do anything for those guys. They're my students, you know. And I love teaching and sharing something that's been passed down from years and years and years. So it is. That's what it is. Jesus in Tap is a clothing line, official clothing line. I have people from all around the world that aren't even Christians buying that shirt. So it's just a cool, catchy thing. K-Drama, who sung the song. You know, I wrote 2 rap songs, and I don't even write rap. I don't even know where I got rap. And, you know, gave it to them, and they produced the beats, and then put the, you know, my lyrics to the CD, and now it's downloaded on iTunes. You can get that on iTunes or go to kdrama.com. I got nothing to do with that. I was just happy he did the song and used my lyrics, and now I can say, you know, not Lil Wayne, but I'm a rapper now, even though I don't rap.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Cool. Quick story, Jason. I'm a huge MMA fan, and I was working with a summer help kid at my job, and he's also an MMA fan, and he was getting ready to go into training to be an MMA, and he was talking about tapping, and I said, you know, Jesus didn't tap, and he was like, you know what, that's really catchy, and I was like, yeah, that is actually Jason David Frank's, you know, like a t-shirt liner, you know, that's his slogan. He's like, well, who's that? And I was like, well, the Green Ranger, and I showed him that picture of you from, I don't know, years ago, where you're just completely just big as a house, just jacked from head to toe, and within a week, he had Jesus didn't tap on his forearm in the same exact spot and the same exact tattoo as you do.
Yeah, that's, well, that's crazy.
Yep. So he is also, oh, he's actually
definitely catchy and stuff, which is good. So it's awesome. Good
but
deal,
does,
man.
Yeah, speaking of MMA and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm a huge MMA fan. I know exactly what you're talking about, where you're coming from. I was overly excited. I probably got hundreds of emails when, you know, you were talking about going to, you know, MMA, and I was like, there's no way, there's just no way, because, you know, again, you're my favorite Ranger. You know, I followed you for a long time with your movies, your different shows, your different projects, and I was, you know, super excited to see you, you know, in a cage, and I've seen your, you know, your fights, but what made you decide, you know, to go that route? Is it the popularity of the UFC?
Yeah, no, not really, man. I'm still not giving it up. I wanted to get low. I want to fight 185. If not, I'm not a heavyweight. I'm just not. I'm weighing in at 207, 210. I'm fighting guys that are 329, losing down at 270, 269. I'm not a heavyweight. You know what I mean? Even though I'm 220. I'm small to be a heavyweight. Anderson Silva walks 230 and he drops to 185. The 185 guys are huge. You know what I mean? So I'm at 195 right now. I walk at 195. I can get to 170 in a heartbeat. I can get to 185. That's what it all comes down to, is, you know, the different, you know, the weight classes. And I was just fighting heavyweight for too long. And, you know, it just got to the point where the fun was taken out of it. You know, you got really serious. You know, I'm going to fight him and you're not this. You know, just the fun got out of it. I fought for fun. It wasn't about money. It was about fun. I skydive for fun. I fight for fun. You know, Forrest Griffin said it the best, that he loves to punch a guy in the face. And what better way is, what better place to go is go to the UFC. And he says he loves doing it. It's the sport of it. That's why people say, which he's in tap, oh, it's violent. It's not. It's the name of the game. It's a sport like any other sport. So that's kind of like, you know, what I think that happens and all that stuff. And, you know, so anyway.
So you went pro, and then you had you only had the one or two fights, or you had one.
No,
fight
I had I had six amateur fights before. You know, the difference from pro and amateur, you know, you got guys that are on the amateur circuit. Once you get paid even $1, you turn pro. You know, and there's no rules on how to turn pro. I think they need to change that. I think there needs to be a certain amount of time trained. Or, you know, anyone can turn pro. I can get a guy out here right now and turn him pro and put him in a cage. It's too dangerous for him, you know. And I just, you know, I stayed as an amateur because a lot of rules, regulations, and I wanted to work my way up, not like anyone else. I didn't want to, turn pro, and I need to get this fight on this card. It's because who I am. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to fight amateurs and not even be recognized, to be honest with you. I didn't want it to be a Green Ranger thing. I just wanted to go and do my thing, but then it blew up, and then everyone is so for fame. And no, I've already had that. Power Rangers was on top of the world. I was the most popular kid show in the world. That's not what I wanted as an actor. You know what I'm saying? It's not. I didn't want that. And as a fighter, I just wanted to fight and have fun. I had a nudge, you know, 38 years old. I've been on the show since I was 19. I never strive for fame. I strive for, you know, being a human, and I strive for relationships to friends and people. So I guess this was a good way of getting in and building relationships with fans, if that makes sense. You know, so I guess a lot of people go into acting because they want to be this fame and fortune and have rich cars and do all this stuff. That wasn't me. I came from a house with no money. I love acting. It was passionate. But the reason why I quit, I was getting raises. I was getting money. I would have been paid more money. But the reason why I quit is because I lost the fun in it. It no longer was fun for me. It was all about money. It was all about this. It was all about that. I didn't like that. My karate, I make a lot of money at what I do because it's fun. I'm opening a new school because it's fun. You know, I skydive because it's fun. And then MMA, I did it for fun, and then I just wasn't fun no more. That's why I'm getting back into it next year for fun. So I think that's what we need to do. You guys do this radio station because you believe in it. It's fun. Mm-hmm. You get people. You like it. If we didn't have fun and you wake up, oh, my God, I got to get on the phone with this Green Ranger guy. You know, I got to interview. And, you know, I think people lose the passion in life of what they want to do. They get stuck in an endless job that has limits on it. But I want to be limitless and I want to have fun. You know, if we just sit, what's life? Success to me is not measured on a bank account. Success to me is are you happy? Are you guys stoked that you have this radio thing? You guys want to take it big? Heck yeah. You know, that's the excitement and passion. But once the fun gets driven out of it, because now you're dealing with finances, radio stations, people want to cut, people don't want to treat you like humans, they just want to give you more money and treat you like someone else. That's not, I have morals in my life, and my dad taught me, you know, that, and I just want to keep morals. I want to be a somebody. Not in the fan world or an actor. I want to be a human, and I want you to treat me like a human. Saban could have had me still on that show. I don't know if they wanted it, but I would have been on that show forever if they did one thing, pat me on the back, and everyone else that said, you're doing a good job. Catherine, all the new people have never met Haim Saban. It's called Saban Entertainment. You need to get out there, and you need to shake hands with the people that are making you money, pat them on the back, and say, you know what, guys, you're doing a good job. Because a pat on the back goes further than just a check in the mail.
Yeah. Our little podcasting network here, we've been online over at Geekcast Radio. We've been online for 3 years now, and we don't make any money out of it. And I'm honestly happy that I'm not making money out of it, because if I was making money out of it, you know, someone would say, oh, well, you have to change this or you have to change that. I'm glad, you know, I put in 40, 50, 60 hours a week running a network of 20 plus different podcasts. And I absolutely enjoy it, absolutely love it. So I understand where you're coming from with that. With next year, the 20th anniversary coming up, what are your thoughts on the franchise just being, with Power Rangers being 20 years old at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of, doesn't feel like it, you know? I know it's mature to this classic state where, you know, toys and stuff's going for a lot of money and all this other stuff. You know, I mean, I don't know what's expected with Power Rangers. I do know that, you know, there was a conference call tomorrow that was supposed to talk to Saban about whatever it was, development or whatever. I don't know, but my manager's handling that. I just, you know, I'm not one of those guys to, I want this and I want that. It's just,
right.
I believe things will happen when it happens. But it's amazing to me that Power Rangers has not turned syndicated. It's still networked. It's, you know, still popular. Now, it's not as popular as what it used to be, because, you know, if you can think of a really great creation, let's take a fork, for example. I don't know who created it and when and what, so don't quote me, but it'd be a really good idea to have a fork. Oh, man, look at this dude. What is this? All of a sudden, the fork becomes part of our history and part of our culture, that when they want to make a new fork, look at this one. This one, this lights up, and it's still a fork. So Power Rangers is still Power Rangers. I know they're trying to revamp it, but it doesn't have that, what the heck is that, dude? What? A power what? What do they do? And that's the effect that we had for the first 5 years. Well, what do you guys do? Are you oh, my gosh, I've never seen this. So I call that the wow factor. I think Power Rangers has lost the wow factor, but it's just there. And they love it. Fans still say, wow, don't get me wrong. But you understand what I'm saying. It's already like 20 years ago was that phenomenal, but what, we filled every house around the world. Now, you know, it's just part of our culture. If Power Rangers not on TV, it's like, what are you kidding me? SpongeBob's not on TV, what, SpongeBob, where do you go? No, it's just the way it is.
And I think the problem with Power Rangers today is with the current series that's going on, Samurai and a couple series before that, is that the storytelling is just not as good as it used to be. That's the problem. And I, you know, Scotty, you know, has two girls, and he, you know, gets them into Power Rangers and everything else. But, you know, if your kids are going to want to get into it, that's all well and good. But I just don't see how any of us regular fans that if we have kids, us old school fans, can even subject our kids to the new version of Rangers today. Cause it's not as good as it used to be.
It's more.
I agree,
It seems to me it's more or less. And you know, Saban's kind of known for this. It seems today it's more of a 30-minute commercial than anything. You know, back in the day, you know, when you guys were on for the first couple of years, you know, Mighty Morphin, Zeo, you know, even Turbo, obviously. He wants to make his money, but it was like, oh, this is a good story. These are good actors. Yeah. These are good kids. And it's like, now it's like, this is awful. It doesn't matter. We just put out two new Megazords. We put out two new Morphers. We put out two new this, you know, this, and they just flood the shelves with these. It's just kind of like, it's a big giant commercial these days, as opposed to a story that sells toys. It's like toys that are selling a story now.
Right.
Are you?
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I just always scared to tell people that, because you know, a lot of fans are always like, well, I love that. And I'm like, I don't. I mean, my little girl, if she's not allowed to watch nothing past Turbo, my little girl. My little girl and all these little kids in karate, their parents love Power Rangers, but they're taking them back to Netflix of what Power Rangers used to be. And the kids are loving it. The old, oh, Kimberly. I mean, you know, they're trying to revamp it, but it's scaring people to the old school Power Rangers, because the parents want them to watch what they watch. And because of the, you know, effects and the I hate saying the word cheesiness, it looks the same. You know what I mean? You give me one episode, but the older episodes have more meat to it. The older episodes have more stories, because the older episodes is trying to make money. That's why it's the difference. The newer ones, already make money, so let's just crank out toys, let's do this.
No doubt about
it. There's a difference from when you're trying to be a fighter, then you're on top. Sometimes when you're on top, you don't train as hard, you're not as hungry, and you don't need to put the milk on the table. So I really believe they put more focus in those first seasons. And yeah, they were making money, but then all of a sudden it just started changing a little. It was like, well, once I left, they said, if you leave, we're firing everybody, and we're going to start actors every year so they don't become popular like you, and they can't have the power to make decisions like you. That's fine. So their contracts, when I went back to Disney, was everything that I'd done wrong for me to sign this kind of, no tattoos, no this, no skydiving. It was just, you know, and I just think that was their concept. Well, we'll just change the cast every year, and, you know, we won't get them popular, pay them a little bit of money, because what we are is we're selling toys. We're no longer selling the story. We're no longer selling the loner. We're no longer selling the nerd kids. We're no longer selling, you know, Kimberly, the love story, the, you know, the Walter hip-hop keto, Austin. They're not selling that no more, and I think you're right, and you hit the nail on the head. But sometimes when you talk to conventions, you have a lot of, wait a second. That's not right. So I just kind of bite my tongue, and people ask me, you know,
right. What
do you do with your little girl? I said, my little girl can watch every season that I'm in, period. And the reason for that is not because it's daddy, it's because those seasons were better.
Yeah. I will say that there are a couple of seasons after the Mighty Morphin era, like Time Force was a really good, well-done, drawn-out story. You know, there are some good ones, but there, sadly, are a lot more duds. Do you still keep in contact with any of the old cast members?
Yeah, I had a Power Rangers boot camp, and I just got off the phone talking to Johnny Bosch right now. They had a boot camp, you know, called up Walter, called up David, called up Blake, Amy, she emails me. She did email me back the other day. But not the other day, but, you know, I told her my little girl loves her and, you know, stuff like that. But Austin kind of dropped off. I don't really know where he's at, because I think right now, if me and him did something, like even a convention or anything, I think it'd be good. I mean, all that stuff is gone under, you know, the table with him. I'm 38 years old now, you know.
Yeah.
And everything else. So I don't really know the other guys past a certain season, to be honest.
Well, right. Well, yeah, I meant more,
you know, so. When I went back to Dino Thunder, it was the weirdest thing. You know, they put me on tour, and every person on tour, every news station, every talk show I did goes, well, are they on still? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I just did a season. Well, they just came back. I'm like, no, they, you know, they were running the whole, the people just did not know. And it was very awkward for me and weird to go on tour to try to promote something that used to be, and it still was, but then to what it used to be, like the White Ranger, Green Ranger, this, oh my gosh. And I have to say, since the 20-year anniversary, my character has seasoned. You know, it's popular this year. I go places. I'm getting, you know, sponsorships. I'm getting this. It's like, and I know I'm promoting the Facebook and all, but it's just like, oh my gosh, you're like a classic. You know, when you drive a classic car up, everyone's like, what the heck is that? You know, my God, let's go look at that. That's how I feel, like an old classic car pulling into a convention. You know what I'm saying? And it's a different feeling than it used to be when I was torn and on TV Guide and torn around in Israel. And I've learned more about the show probably in the last past 2 years doing conventions than I've ever known in my whole entire life. You know?
I'm sure back then when you were actually doing the show, it was a whirlwind blur for you. It's kind of like, you know, someone will ask you about, oh, do you remember this episode, this quote, this, you know, of course you're not going to remember that because you did so many episodes, you know.
Yeah,
that's one of those things that there's just so much
history. The way we film is we film two episodes a week, but they were mixtures of episodes. It was like this, that, you know, they all same thing, but it was a mixture of kind of episodes. We'll shoot them as clusters. So there are seasons that I look now and I go, what the heck? You know, the seasons that are the best episodes for me and the whole wide world, is when my brother was on the show, because my brother died 8-9 years ago. When my brother played on the show, I cherished those because we don't have lots of video. We were very close with each other. We fought together. We did, but we don't have video. And I look at that, and I look at what a strong fighter he was, and what a strong individual he was, and what a sucky actor he was. Because he was so charming, and he was so this, and he's like, your job's easy. I said, come to set, man, and you can be my brother. And he was like, yeah, that's my action. See, Tommy, we're going on in the cut, and I'm like, what are you talking like that for? Well, I don't know, dude. I mean, you know, this is there. And actually, hey, Tommy, we can go over here, and you're my brother. I was like, and cut, and I was like, dude, talk normal. like I'm talking, and they say action. I'm still Tommy. And cut. I'm Jason now. You know, so he had this different pitch of voice that is just called the actor's voice, and I loved it because it was like, ain't that easy, dude? You know, you're calling out crazy monsters, and you're reacting to green screen, and you're trying to be stepped on by things that aren't there. It's not that easy. Yeah. It's not as easy as everyone thinks it is. You know, and that's why, like, when you see sucky actors on a season or whatever, I'm not going to point to no season.
Right.
Wonder, huh, it's not because they suck, because it ain't that easy. You actually have to be somewhat to make it look somewhat of a real, you know?
Well,
it's just funny.
Sometimes I wonder, Jason, to be completely honest, it's like I imagine like this meeting room and they're like, look, you guys have to be the worst actors in the world for this entire season. Like you said, we're not going to call any seasons out in case they're going to be on the show or they've been on the show. But it's definitely been seasons where I'm just like, this is so terrible that it's barely watchable.
We can't have an interview with you without asking about Forever Red and you and Austin working together again. What was that like? Was there ever any animosity between you guys? Because I don't remember.
Not at all, man.
Okay. Nah.
You know, it wasn't that way. It was like, you know, me and Austin to this day could probably do a convention and put everything behind us. You know, it just was the point where if you say you're a fighter and you just let's fight. Let's put a fight on for the fans. Let's do the Battle of the Rangers. You know, we can get a lot of people that would love to see it. I mean, if you are who you say you are and you kill people in the rings, beating them up, and you fight undergrounds, and, you know, you're fighting in Thailand, if these are the true stories, then why not fight me in the cage for the fans? And obviously they're not true stories. And I'm knowing that. And, you know, I mean, I think maybe he's growing up now to realize that you can't BS a real martial artist. You can't BS me. I've been in the business for 34 years. Anything you tell me or anything you say you can break, I've done. And if I can't do it, there's someone that a master can, but you're not a master. And there's those things I think, you know, eating me up for so many years, like, oh, if he is, then why now? I let it go. I don't care. I'll do a convention in Austin. There was no animosity at all. Nothing was said in front of my face. Nor did we ever get into a fight. We hung out. We ate. We laughed. Maybe a little holding it in. You know, like, whatever. Maybe we wanted to call each other names, but we never did, you know? And we did have respect for each other. I know everyone's got this thing about me and Van Damme and me and Austin St. John and all that stuff. Well, I call him out as a man in the fight world. And if you don't step up as a man in the fight world and give me what I want, then it's back to reality. Then you're a man in reality. But don't put yourself a man in the cage. Van Damme will be a perfect fight. I got way more fans than he does right now at this point. I don't care if he's old. He wants to fight. Why not put him in the cage? I'm his weight class now. So why not put him in the cage? Why not even get a call from a manager saying, hey, Jason, knock the crap off. You're causing too much problems. Or why not even get an eyebrow raised? You know why? They don't give me the time of the day. But I'm not no just Joe Blow out there that's blowing smoke. I'm saying if Van Damme stepped to the page right now, let's get it going. I don't care if it's in Russia. Let's just fight. I used to like the guy. I used to love his movies. You know, people say they want to fight me because it's an honor. I never understood that. I love to fight Van Damme. But if he can't step up, back to reality. Often he can't step up to what he said, back to reality.
We've heard a lot of different stories. To be perfectly honest, this is the first time I've heard of Van Damme, but I've heard so many Austin St. John stories about how he hated you because of this, or you hated him because of that, or you guys didn't get along because of this reason. I mean, I've seen, you know, interviews with you or even at the convention where you looked over to Mike, help me out here. What's Rocky's real name?
Steve Gardenas.
And you looked at Steve and you go, I'm glad it's you as the Red Ranger and not that other Red Ranger. You know, just stuff like that, you know, people have picked up on. So, I mean, there was some kind of something. You know,
you're an MMA fan, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You like MMA, right?
Absolutely.
Well, there's hype in that stuff. Yes, the feelings are, but there's hype into it. Look at, Koscheck with George St. Pierre. He made it happen. Look at Sony with the spider. Y'all, I'm the one for you. You got your ass kicked by the spider. And I knew that was going to happen. I love Anderson Silva. He's a masterpiece. I don't care what anyone says. I will sit at a party and say, I'm calling the second round. And that's just the way it is. And there's always hype into what goes on. Now, that hype is created from real emotions. But after you get two men in the cage that fight their heart out, they become friends. Like Anna said, let's have a barbecue or something. Let's have a barbecue.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
In order to get there, there has to be, if you're a fighter, let's fight and let's get to that level where we can have a barbecue with our kids. I never got that with Austin. He says that I'm this, I'm that. That's the reason why I hold this grudge, this animosity, this hype. I was pumping him up. I was saying whatever I could so I can get you on the phone. I called you 5 times on the phone, different random times to say, I got a promoter to pay us $25,000 a fight. Let's get the fight going. I even called back to say, I won't even hurt you that bad. Please call me back. And I never got a response. And I just feel as a fighter, you got, showing me after the spider for years, 2.5 years he's after this. I almost won you. I want you. Calling him out in the cage. Now he did. He's not going to get a chance again. He lost, not that bad, but he lost. He's not going to get a chance. You know what? They're friends now. So all my point was, let's put it in the cage. All this talk and all this, I'm a fighter and I do this. And it's annoying. Everywhere we went, every interview you went, I'm a humble guy from martial arts. I would say this, and instantly you would say, oh, I'm a fighter. I'm like, no, you're not, dude. You never fought one day in your life. Yes, I did. Fought underground in Thailand. Killed a guy. It was his birthday. Literally, like, serious.
It was his birthday.
No joking. I promise you, that's no joke. These are things that built up for years and years and years. Finally, to the point I've said, you know what? We're off the show. Put it in the cage. I'd love to fight you. I'd love to have you have respect of what a fighter is about. And even though I might not show that, Jason shouldn't act that way. Yes, it's all hype. That's how you get someone in the cage. If they're man enough, that's how you get someone in the cage. Now, I have people doing that to me. And you know what? When I say man to man, I don't know you. You can call me out all day long on YouTube. Guess what? I don't know you, and I'm not going to show you the respect because you don't deserve respect to fight with me in the cage because I don't know you. But if you know someone, and if you train with someone, and you see them in the circuit, and you're fighting, and you know them, it's respect. Never gave me that respect. So what I did is I wrote it off. I said, forget it. He ain't never getting there. Man, let's be friends. Wherever Austin St. John is today, he should be out there doing conventions. For whatever reason, he's not. Yes, did he get teased because he gained weight? Yes. Is it sad? Yes. Should people have room to talk? No. People calling names on, this and that, and you gain weight. Unfortunately, we are in the public's eye, and people are going to judge us all the time. That's why I stay fit. I don't care what people think, but I'm a superhero for the rest of my life. And I don't care if I'm walking with a cane, I'm going to beat you up with that cane. You know what I mean? I got to live what I live. And not because of Power Rangers, I'm trying to live in this Power Ranger.
Right.
Power Rangers are karate people. I was a karate master before. I'm a karate master after. It just happened to be Power Rangers fit into my superhero character. And that's all it is. So I'm a martial artist, and I'm happy that Tommy was a martial artist. So we have stuff in common. Martial arts is for life.
And not to dig too deep in here into your personal life, but I'm a friend with you on Facebook, and I'm a friend on your fan page, and it's also very refreshing to see a picture of you and your daughter reading a book. It's refreshing to see you with a picture of your daughter with a puppy, and it's not just and you can kind of tell that the stuff you say is real. You speak from your heart. You're not about, you're not running around with a green helmet all the time. You're not running around with a white helmet all the time. Like, hey, look at me.
Oh man, what? I didn't embrace that Power Ranger stuff for the longest time until you all wanted it.
Right.
I mean? I was never I figured, man, my wife said, you didn't put on a costume for 10 years. Why now? I said, because my little girl, she's 8. You know what I'm saying? I'm her hero. And
yep.
Then for her, it's like, and I'm like, for these guys, Tammy, look at the way they act. I'm back there going, hot, I'm being this costume. It's hot. My groin is just, I don't like this cuff. And then they come in, hey, buddy, how you doing today? And they're 25. They turn to 5 again. Oh, my God, dude. Oh, and they're shaking, and they're holding you, and, oh, man, this is the best moment of my life. And the more you hear that, the more you want to do, and the more you put your personal feelings aside and say, I'm not that good not to get into that costume. I'm doing it for the fans. And before, if I didn't want to get into this and I didn't want to embrace it, I feel I have an ego problem. But I don't have an ego problem. I step into something that's going to make someone happy. Am I always happy backstage wearing it? No. Am I unhappy right now with that one person that said something about my daughter on Facebook? Yes. You know what I mean? And it was very, very, very horrible what they said about my daughter. Therefore, that one person, unfortunately, that one psychotic person that says this and says that, terrible things about my daughter, makes me hesitant. For all those 64,000 fans, it's like I get scared. But I'm not going to let one person ruin something for everyone
else. You don't have to. You don't have to go into it, but I'm not exactly sure what you're speaking of. But what I'm trying to say is I do agree that you are a real person, that you do speak from your heart because of pictures, because of the way you speak, because of some of the other stuff you do, that you're not all about yourself. And you do embrace the Power Ranger thing because of us. And I just – it's just really refreshing that
– You mentioned earlier about the – I'm sorry to cut you off, Scotty. You mentioned earlier about, you know, an old – Tommy with a cane, and the only thing I can think of is, you darn putties, get off my lawn!
Yeah, I know. It's funny, man. I've learned so much more. But, you know, you have to understand, like, when I watch things, it's not me. That's why people are like, oh, I can't believe it's not me. It's like, I watched this guy on TV. I was never a Power Ranger fan because I was stuck into the middle of everything. I never really had collectible things because I just... You know, I was there in the moment. It was my job. It was like a fireman that saves people. It was a cop that defended his block, and he didn't think twice about it. If he shot a guy, he didn't think twice about it. It just, that was his job, and this was my job. And it, you know, and what happened was it moved so many people that a lot of actors are like, that's dumb, dude. That's stupid. I hear something, oh, you changed my life. How in the hell? I've been backstage before. I've heard actors say that about their fans. Yeah. But then I start thinking, a change of life, well, that's good.
The majority of the fan base loves you for what you did with what you were on at the time, and even coming back to do Forever Red and coming back to do Dino Thunder. You know, if someone would have told me I would have been able to talk to you a year ago, I would have probably laughed in their face, because I'm like, okay, well, he was a Power Ranger once. He's doing all this other stuff now. You know, and I understand, you know, making time for fans and everything else, and that's, you know, that's great, but I'm absolutely ecstatic that we were able to actually talk to you for this
length. I would have said, if you would have said I would have talked to you a year, I would have said if you ran into me, you definitely would have talked, because, you know, like I said, I always take the time, and you know what, I take time with people that don't even know who I am. I'm the same Jason Frank as I am. As Jason Frank from Power Rangers, Jason Frank from MMA, Jason Frank from Season and Tap, or just a standard guy that leaves and helps somebody out, and then afterwards they go, who's that guy? You know, oh, I didn't know. You know, so many times I run in, and to me it doesn't matter who you think I am. If I like you, I like you, and there's a lot of people I like, and, you know, I love talking to people, and I love being, you know, humble to people. I moved my karate schools, no lie. I haven't told a lot of people this, but I moved in a town called Humble, because I wanted to always make a Rising Sun shirt that says, come get humbled at Rising Sun Karate Humble. You know, and it's just a humble place. It's an humble, and I think that being humble and not carrying yourself, and that's another thing, not saying nothing wrong, Austin St. John carried himself like a star. Man, you're not no star. I'm just as big, if not popular, than you on the show, and I'm not acting that way. Don't act that way to people. I don't get along with people. I don't care if you're a fighter. I don't care if you're a businessman. If you think you're higher and mighty than someone else, I'm not sitting with you. That's just the way it is. The people I get, you have to understand, I come from a family with not a lot of money. And money wasn't driven. We're not driven off money. We're driven off relationships. We're driven off emotions. We're driven off how you are. If you think about it, we're all, you know, music instruments, you know? I mean, you can strum a guitar and then put it right next to a quiet, you know, quiet guitar, and all of a sudden they both, you know, we feed off each other's energy. So the people I want to be around are positive people, you know, and it's not just successful people, because a lot of my friends that I have have a lot of money, but they don't ask me for things, you know, and I think that they're real people. You know, I saw Steve Harvey on a show, on TDN or something, giving his testimony, and man, I felt what he was saying about people blobbing you, people saying stuff that they don't even know about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, all his friends are real, real guys. They're not famous. They're not this, you know, and I don't consider myself famous at all. And, you know, if I did, I think I'd be a whole different person, and my Facebook wouldn't have the fans that I have, because I do take the time to talk to them, man. I love to see what someone says. And you know what? If someone says, hey, I got a question for you. I know you've heard it 1,000 times. Which color do you like to be? Would you like to be? You know, I have people already answer. He's already asked that question. I will go right on and say, you know, green. You know, I like green. I like white. Because you know what? Even though I heard it 1,000,000 times, it's the first time they asked me. It's new to them.
Yeah.
So a lot of these, you know, people are like, dude, you've asked me already, you know, and they're so tired of answering. I think that we need, you know, everyone asked me, I like to refresh it a little bit and think about it. And if I was in their shoes and I asked somebody and they said, dude, I've already answered that 100 times, I'd be like, all right, well, I ain't never asking you something. Thanks for being my hero. You know, I would. That's what I would do. And I don't want no one to ever be like that. Like, gosh, man, even when I'm in a bad mood or, you know, I try to take care of people's feelings because I don't want them to leave with the bad taste in their mouth or leave. Like, you know, if you can imagine looking up to someone for so many years or saying, I never thought I'd talk to you. That's great that we talk. I never, you know, really never thought I'd talk to you guys either because, you know, that's the way life puts us, you know? So, anyway, I just think that I always try to refresh the questions and, you know, don't want to make someone feel like that. And I don't want someone to be like, I looked up to this guy for so long and what a jerk he was. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
It's a big role. But,
I got one more quick question. You know, we appreciate your time, Jason, and in the Sentai in Japan, they just did a series called Gokaiger. They turned in a bunch of the old Rangers. I'm not sure if you're aware of this because it's it's not really an American based thing. But now Saban is going to do this thing called Gosager when everybody wanted to do the Gokaiger, and now they're talking about maybe like doing them both together. So they're talking about bringing some of the old Rangers back on, but they're kind of, you know, tight-lipped about it. And I was just wondering if they're going to do that, everybody's going to want.
Well, yeah, I mean, probably, because that's probably what Saban's talking to my agent about tomorrow. And I don't really have no clue what they're talking about, but they did mention, I don't know, I don't follow it a lot, but they did mention some 20-year anniversary thing. But, you know, and I don't know. They were talking to my manager. I guess development's talking to them. I don't really know what it's about and stuff, but they did say that's what it was about, a 20-year anniversary thing or something.
One last thing before we let you go. Shout Factory and TimeLife.com are putting out the 40-disc season series set from MMPR to Lost Galaxy. Did you have anything to do with the MMPR set? Did they interview you for any bonus features or anything like that on the DVD sets?
Yeah, they did.
Awesome.
We did. I think we did about an hour interview, and it's pretty cool. It was at my school, and you know, and I just talked about the good old times and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, in regards to the 20th year anniversary thing, if Saban ever wanted me to do something, I would do it, and I want my fans to know. And Saban, you know, has called me and told me, you know, my fans are lighting up their circuit boards with asking questions. So I don't want the fans to bother them. I got a call from, you know, Saban's legal department about that, about their phones have been ringing off the hook with Tommy fans about questions, you know. But I would just want to let everyone know that if you hear any rumors about Jason Frank not doing the 20-year anniversary for any other reason, and I would tell everybody right now, I do things for fun. I would do it for all my fans, and I would do it for a dollar. So if it does not happen, it has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with money, has to do with Saban. So if, you know, the fans did want to see me, they've already been calling and doing all this stuff, just bear with me, because if it happens, it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with doing stuff for you guys. And, you know, my little girl likes that too. And, you know, me, I'm a businessman. So anything right. I do, I got schools. I got clothing companies. I would do something even if I did it for a dollar. And I'll end up, you know, doing really good and promoting there. And, you know, people would love it. And fans would love it. So that's just what it comes down to. So if, you know, we'll see how things go with Saban and the phone call tomorrow. And, you know, that's what it's going to come down. It's not going to come down. I just want my fans to know it doesn't come down. And say there's a point where you have to take care of yourself. Well, I'm financially blessed right now with everything that I got, and everything that I do is not for money. It's not for anything else. It's because I do it for fun. That's what I did MMA for. I would fight on UFC for a dollar. I'm having fun. You see, you do your radio show for free because you have fun.
Yeah.
Fun's still there.
And, you know, I just think it's going to be great, and we'll see what happens with it all.
Yeah. All right, we will ask you to hold the line, and we will be back after this.
Welcome, Power Rangers. This promises to be a momentous occasion. You are about to meet the newest member of your team. As you are aware, the Green Ranger's power was completely decimated by his last few battles. Alpha and I felt it was time to create an even more powerful Ranger to combat Lord Zedd and his diabolical evil. To that end, a candidate was selected, and a new Power Ranger was created. And now, my friends, I present to you the White Ranger. White Ranger, the time has come to reveal your identity.
Guess who's back?
I don't believe it.
What's up, man?
Ah, oh, you look good.
Thanks, man.
We didn't know who it was going to be. I mean,
we were all hoping it would be you, especially Kimberly.
Speaking of Kimberly. Hey, beautiful. It's time to wake up.
I don't believe it. I must be dreaming. Is it really you?
In the flesh.
Man, awesome. Simply awesome.
It's fantastic.
Ay, 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 ay. All this human emotion. Oh.
So, Power Rangers, may I assume that you are pleased with the new leader of the Power Team?
This is great.
I'm sorry for being secretive. We had to guard against Lord Zedd's interference.
But sort on how? I mean, I thought that Tommy lost his powers for good.
Not Tommy's. The Green Ranger's powers were gone for good.
That is correct. However, Tommy has proven himself to be worthy and true. His courage, strength, and honor allowed us to choose him to be the new White Ranger. This time, his powers have been created by the light of goodness and can never be taken away by the forces of evil.
The new Ranger will control the White Tiger Zord, a Zord of strength and fierceness. He will carry an enchanted white saber known as Saba. Saba will assist the White Ranger in battle as well as control the new Zord.
Extend your hand, White Ranger, and accept all that has been granted to you.
Activate the Tiger Zord!
Tiger Zord, power up!
So freaking awesome. Oh my wow. God. That's over an hour with Jason David Frank. That's just amazing.
When we first started, I was thinking, I hope we get to talk to this guy for, a half hour, 40 minutes. Yeah. But I mean, what you hear about him is the honest to God truth, because that's a legit dude. That's the real dude right there.
Yeah.
Yep. He took time out of his night to, you know, to talk to, you know, me and you, you know, super nerds. And I love him for that. That's amazing.
Yeah. I love how embraceful he is of the fans, because he, you know, he realizes that, oh, hey, I have all these fans and all these people that love me. You know, why not embrace it? And I absolutely love that about him. I love that he is as real as he is. And I just love, you know, hearing, you know, him, you know, tell the stories of the Power Ranger stuff, or talk about his clothing line, or talk about his MMA stuff. Anything the guy has to say, I'll listen to. I actually told him off air, it wasn't in the interview, but I told him off air, you know, when I first saw Forever Red and I saw just that silhouette, I knew exactly before, you know, just before Bulk handed him the phone, I knew who it was. And I teared up, because it was like, you know, between Zio and Forever Red, he wasn't on any of the seasons, obviously, because he had moved on and everything else. And it was just amazing, amazing times talking with him. Just so awesome. Can't
you know what I totally meant to ask him was, during Dino Thunder, there was about, I don't know, maybe 10 episodes, 15 episodes where he was stuck in his...
Yeah, the voiceover. I think that was a scheduling thing. I don't know.
Okay, what I wanted to ask. Was he at one of his, you know, was his schools? Was he filming something? What was he doing? Because that was, you know, it was obvious that, you know, JDF is busy doing something else, but, you know, at least he's doing some via satellite, you know, voiceovers for him.
Yeah, he is one of the ultimate businessmen when it comes to, you know, doing multiple projects or anything else. It was just amazing talking to him. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know of, you know, not to take away from any of the other Rangers, but for those of you who have been listening to the last 14 episodes of From the Command Center, the podcast, you know that Scotty and I are huge Tommy fans.
Definitely.
So for us, that was like the penultimate interview. Like and this is no disrespect to any other actors, but there isn't another interview right now that I would love to get more than just having the last hour talking with Jason David Frank. It was just freaking amazing.
Well, I'm almost certain that, you know, probably 95-99% of all Ranger fans are going to think that, because like we said earlier, he's pretty much the Power Ranger. You know, anything you look at, you know, you got Transformers, it's obviously it's Optimus Prime. You know, there's always a leader, there's always a main face, even if he hasn't been in there from Turbo to Dino Thunder, and then you know, he hasn't been in there since Dino Thunder. It's like he's still the face.
Yeah.
You know, even people that don't know him are just still know him, even though, you know.
Oh, darn. I just had a really, really strange comparison. He is the John Cena of Power Rangers.
I was thinking Hulk Hogan of Power Rangers the entire time I was talking to him. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
We've got the Dino Thunder episode coming up later this week, and we're going to be doing that. And in Dino Thunder, in episode 500 overall of Power Rangers, in Legacy of Power, they say, our teacher is the oldest living Power Ranger. And then Haley comes in and says, not the oldest, but he's the best.
Yeah, just the best. and not to give too much away from our Dino Thunder episode, but my favorite part of the entire season was when, right after around that time where he becomes the Black Ranger, and they're like, you know, where are you going? He's like, well, you know, I had to look through my closet and I need to get a little bit more black or something like that. I'm just like, yes, that so just awesome. Happened.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen, Jason David Frank, here on From the Command Center, the podcast. Things can only go up from here, I guess. I don't know. Have we peaked when it comes to interviews now, I guess? I don't know.
I would say, but I mean, he's yet to have a bad interview. You know, obviously he's going to be our favorite because we're marks, but all the other interviewers were still really good. So, yes. I mean, if, as long as we get to keep talking to these amazing people, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I would love to be able to talk to Emma Lahana, who was Kira in Dino Thunder, and Latham Gaines, who was Mezagog.
You're working on those, right?
Yeah, I'm working on them. I need to start doing the contacts, so I need to start sending out the emails and all that stuff. So
all you need to put is, look, we already spoke to Jason David Frank. What do you want? And they'll just be like, oh, well, okay.
So
we'll be on Wednesday.
All right. We will see you guys later on this week when we do the Dino Thunder episode.
Our teacher is the oldest living Power Ranger.
Not the oldest.
Huh?
Just the best.
Dr. O!
Negativity. Haven't you learned that in our world anything's possible?
Even the destruction of the great Dr. Tommy Oliver.
I heard my name. You missed me, didn't you, Zeltrax?
Yes!
All right!
Awesome!
Right on!
You made it!
Hey, Dr. Rowe, what's this?
A black dino gem. Let me guess. The power of invisibility.
Looks like it.
That gem belongs to my master.
There's two things you guys need to learn about dino gems. One, you can't choose them. They choose you.
What's the other?
They go real well with dino morphers.
Aren't you a little old for this, Tommy?
I may be old, but I can still pull it off.
Dino Thunder, power up!
I got an energy reading on the tracking system. I had a good idea it was another gym. So I had Haley build a morpher just in case.
And the day of my gig?
I was coming to tell you guys the energy had moved and we needed to investigate.
When you were nabbed by the Goon Patrol. Brutal.
Yeah, but it all turned out okay. Well, I better get going.
Going? Where are you going?
Shopping. I checked my closet this morning, and there's a serious shortage of black in there. See ya.